This is Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Vayetze, entitled The Roman Noblewoman Who Tried to Play God. So I have to admit to you that the story I'm about to relate to you from the Midrash is one that I've come across many times in the Midrash, and it's in the Talmud as well. But now I've got a new depth of understanding I want to share with you. So it's a famous story of this Matrona, a Roman noblewoman who has a conversation Rabbi Yossi bar Chalifta, and she basically asks him, okay, so I understand that God created the world in 6 days and then it rested. What does God do now? And the famous answer is that God makes marriages. Of course, it's not just that. He also said that God lowers and elevates people's financial status. So in any case, she was very taken aback by this answer, and she said, I don't really get it. I could do that myself. She said that she had 1,000 male slaves and 1,000 female slaves, and she was going to do a forced marriage. And one night, she lined them all up and said, you have to marry you, and you have to marry you. And she said, there you go. Rav Yossi Bar Chalifta said, you know, for God, this is as difficult as splitting the Dead Sea, and he walked away. She came the next day to inspect her handiwork and found people yelling and screaming with broken bones and lacerations and missing eyes and teeth and a horrible scene. And she realized right away that this was miraculous. Matching people up was something miraculous, and she realized that God was right. She went back to Rav Yossi ben Chalifta and said, you're right, everything you said and the Torah is true. It's a beautiful story. As I said, Eish HaNechelem brings another depth to the story, that what's really going on, the background is that she was actually proposing a philosophy that was probably maybe more prevalent in those days, which was that, yes, there was a higher power, perhaps a God that created the world, but then God left and the world runs on its own. And that's what she was proposing. And he was answering her, no, God is involved very much in everything that people do, right down to, you know, who they marry and their financial status, whether it's good or bad, going up or down. So that was the interesting backstory. And he also was saying that God must be involved in, as we say, you know, recreating the world every day and every millisecond. Perhaps we could look at this as, you know, on an atomic level, where everything in the world has a certain force that's keeping the atoms together, and God is really holding it all together. Anytime God would think that he wanted to stop, everything would collapse and disappear. So that's what he was explaining, and that was the background. The Midrash goes on to say some very interesting things, and some of them unexpected, about the nature of marriage. One is, it says that it is done bal korchom, Shaloba Tovatam. It's done seemingly by force and seemingly not obvious to the parties involved that it's in their best interest. I'll give you an example about Bal Kachan. We have a neighbor across the street, and she grew up in Morocco. Now, Israel, of course, has a lot of Moroccan Jews who came, most of them came in the early part, when 1948, they were expelled from Morocco. But she grew up in a wealthy part of Morocco, and just a few years ago went to Paris to get her education. And she was in Casablanca in Morocco, and she came in Aliyah to Israel. Her Chatan grew up in Switzerland in the French-speaking part, because there is different parts of Switzerland who speak different languages. So she's French-speaking and he's French-speaking, and they came and they met in Israel. So God forcibly arranged for these people to find each other and give them the potential to meet because they were destined for each other. Furthermore, the second part of that statement is also quite unusual, that Shelo b'tovata means not right away recognized or necessarily recognized for the good of the two parties involved. You can't just see each other and say, okay, you were the one who was destined. That actually happened in this parsha where Yaakov, when he met Rachel, according to Rashi, brings the medrash that he already knew, he was sad because he already knew that he was going to marry her, but they wouldn't be buried together. She was going to be in Kever Rachel. So we don't all get that kind of, that kind of prophecy, but God does bring the right person to us. In other words, I think what the medrash is saying is you have to be emotionally invested in a relationship. So when you have an opportunity that miraculously you have meet someone who is destined for you, because you know these things were announced before you were born, who is going to marry who. But it doesn't mean that you're actually going to be smooth sailing unless you, both parties, actually invest in the relationship and make it work. You could actually mess it up by just, you know, sitting back and thinking, well, it's going to happen on its own. Just to conclude, the beauty of what Rav Yossi Bar Chalifta was saying, and the reason he chose marriages as an example of God's ongoing involvement and recreation of the world, is because a human relationship is something that people certainly assume is totally in their realm, and they're in control. Who I choose to hang out with, who I choose to get involved with emotionally, how that relationship goes, that's me, that's all up to me and them. And of course it's true, as I said before, it's you have to invest in that relationship, but ultimately there was something else going on behind the scenes, that there was someone chosen for you, and that's how God manifests himself in the world. And so an area that you thought you were in control is actually the farthest thing from your control. Have a great Shabbat.